his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. What you say, today is the day, today is the day, today is the day.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
If I could have your attention, we'd like to observe the ordinance of baptism. And here I have Grace, Gracie Johnston. Gracie, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yeah.
Her parents, David and Anna, brought her to the office a couple of weeks ago. And we talked together, and Grace prayed and asked Jesus to come in her heart as her Lord and Savior. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for as the Lord lays her on your heart? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Grace, Gracie, my sister, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in a spirit-filled life. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you so much for this example of Gracie's obedience in following you and identifying with you. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill her with your spirit and live through her all the days of her life. And Father, we just want to ask you, please, to pour your spirit out upon us today. We invite you to come and meet with us. We pray that we would sense your presence and your power today and speak to our hearts through your word. I ask you, oh God, to illuminate it and make it fresh in each one of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's greet each other. Praise God. Amen. Give everybody a hug or whatever, handshake, fist bump. Welcome this morning. Please be seated. I'd like to share a few announcements with you. Immediately following the service, we're having our fundraiser for Youth Camp Spaghetti Luncheon, and want to invite you to come over and eat lunch with us. And you may say, well, I've got appointments this afternoon, or I've got to get out of here. Well, we've got them to go also, so I want to encourage you. Tremendous spaghetti cooks over there, and great food, and want to encourage you to grab some on the way and maybe take it home with you if you can't eat here with us. And we praise God for what we're doing right now with our youth and how God's blessing that and adding to it. We're going to be having a Sunday evening service, a deacon ordination. If you'll look on the cover of the cell, Sunday, April 23rd, 6 p.m., here in our sanctuary, and want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us as we ordain three new deacons into the life of our fellowship, and I want to ask you to be a part of that. And then if you're our guest today, we want to invite you to connect with us. Just tear the little slip off that you see here and fill that out, place it in the offering plate, and that'll help us get more information to you about upcoming events. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be having a work day at the farm, and we need painters. So if you are a good painter, or even if you're not, My wife Kim loves to paint, and sometimes there's as much paint on her as there is on the wall. And yet she really does a good job and gets it done. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that if you'd like to help us. We'll be painting some of the rooms there at the farmhouse on the Reborn Farm, and want to encourage you to come and take part in that. The information's inside the sale here as well. Want to invite you to participate in our life groups. It's a great way to meet our people and to connect with them. And they look after each other in such a great way. If there's illness or setbacks, they'll bring food and come and encourage and pray for you, strengthen, and then getting to know each other in a very close and vital way. And then our ladies' spring banquet's coming up, Delight, and that's May 13th. And want to encourage you ladies to take part in that. It's always a highlight in the life of our church as they participate together in that. And then also we've got the National Day of Prayer. It's at the gazebo next to the courthouse. And every year we've been hosting that for about, I don't know, 28, 29 years. And our school is there singing. We're going to have other personalities from the community praying. And want to encourage you to come and take part in that. That's at 12 noon on May 4th. God bless you.
Church, if I may, this last week, you keep playing, Darren. I'm a pianist too, so I love hearing the piano. I tell them to play all the time. This last week or two, Pastor, I'm sorry I didn't ask permission, but I'd like to share a quick testimony. This last week or two, my wife and I and my family, we've gone through some different challenges. We just bought a house. We're homeowners for a week and a half and we're exhausted. Exactly, that's what I've been getting from everybody. Say, welcome to the club, buddy. And we've had some changes and some radical changes in our family. And this song, Bless the Lord, I haven't been able to stop singing it all week. Because if there's anything we can learn from, for example, David, in the midst of anything and everything we're going through, bless the Lord. He is good. He is faithful. There is no one like him. So church, I'm going to invite you this morning, just lift up your hands as we sing this next song and just bless his name. If you're going through challenges, if you're going through situations in your family, if you're hearing some news that doesn't sound positive, just bless him. Praise him. He is in control. Amen? He is in control. There's nothing and no one that can come against a son and a daughter of God. Amen? Let's sing this next song.
Pray with me, please, over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for this morning and for the praise team bringing us into a spirit of worship. We thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart. Father, we pray that you give us a mind and a heart to understand and take it into action. Father, we pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that they would give their heart and life to you, Father, and we could rejoice with them. Father, please bless this offering and those who offer it to you. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Some of you may not know, but Rick is the pastor of the, you can be seated, Spanish church here, and this is his oldest son, Ricky. And two weeks ago, mm-hmm. They baptized 10 at the beach, and Ricky got baptized. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. We're proud of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bless y'all, brother. Amen. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you about baptism. We cover it every now and then, and we are a Baptist church, and a Southern Baptist church, and I just want to encourage you with this passage. This is the most detailed account of baptism in the New Testament. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. How many of you are familiar with this story? Raise your hands. Okay, excellent. And we want to go through and look at this. Baptism is an interesting thing when you think about it. You think about adults, children, coming into a body of water in front of a group of people dressed, some in their Sunday finest, some casual, and coming in and actually going under the water and getting immersed in front of a group of people. Now, many of us grew up with it most of our adult life, most of our life as believers, and so we're accustomed to it. But when you think about it, it's kind of an unusual thing. Years ago, when I first came to the church, there was a senior couple that gave their life to Christ. The first 2 years I was here, the first year we baptized 145 people, the next second year 135 people, and we saw a lot of people obeying the Lord in believer's baptism at that time. And this one couple, senior couple, gave their life to Christ with me, and she had an inner ear problem. She didn't have the normal film in her ear that separates her inner ear from the outer ear. And so literally her entire life from a childhood, she had never been, had her head underwater, never been immersed, not in a bathtub, a swimming pool, the ocean, nowhere. And so they gave their life to Christ. They wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I was out of town. I was new. I was here, new pastor. And they were talking to one of the associate pastors. And they said, well, Pastor Orman, he's a loving pastor. She said, I can't get immersed, but I want to get baptized. And he said, well, the staff member said, well, he'll work out something with you. And so when I got back in town, I had the couple come in my office. I'm talking to them. They said, Pastor, your staff member said you would work out something for me. And I said, well, I love you dearly, and I praise God for your willingness to obey, but I don't have authority to work out anything with you. I can't change what God said in His Word. Baptism is immersion, and that's all it is. It's nothing more and nothing less. It's immersion. We're going to look at that with the Word study in a little bit. But I said, but it doesn't save you. You know, we don't believe that baptism is essential to go to heaven, but it's essential for obedience and growth in the Christian life. It is the first step of obedience. The Great Commission says, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, person, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. So the Great Commission goes right into baptism. And that's part of our obedience with the Great Commission. We win them to Christ and we baptize them. But I said, I do believe that if God wants you to do that, He will protect you. And so she went and had a doctor actually medically pack her ear, that one ear. And they came one Sunday morning and I baptized both of them. And it was glorious because that was the first time in the lady's life that she'd ever had her head underwater. And she said, I'm going to obey Jesus, even if it's life-threatening, I'm going to do it. And it was a glorious time. Some of you may remember that. And they went on to live in the life of the church until she went to heaven, and then ultimately her husband John went to heaven as well. And we praise the Lord for them. But we see this aspect of baptism in the New Testament. Let's look at the account together, and we'll pull out and show you why the Scriptures indicate that baptism is by immersion only, and then it's also only for believers. We're going to look at several of those things. So let's begin in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he was a Jew, an African Jew. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot, or, you know, attach yourself to it, catch it, and get on it. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. This was the passage in Isaiah. And by the way, Isaiah is referred to as the gospel of the Old Testament. Harry Ironside and some of the great pastors through the years said that if there was only one book in the Old Testament they could have, they wanted the book of Isaiah because it was the gospel in the Old Testament. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now we know from the context as we look at the rest of the story that when he preached Christ to him, he went past the gospel and he did talk about baptism, because we see that later in this experience, the eunuch shows an understanding of New Testament baptism that was obviously conveyed to him by Philip as he preached Jesus to him. And so, and as they went along the road, they came to some water, a body of water, a wadi or a oasis in this desert road, as it said in the beginning, Gaza, the desert road. And so here's a pond of water with vegetation around it and greenery sustaining itself in the middle of this desert. And so the eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? And the idea was now. And so he's saying I was prevented from being baptized because there was not a body of water. And so we go on with it. And Philip said, do you believe with all your heart? You may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and we picture a depth of water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So I'd like for us to look at a few aspects of this encounter, of this experience between Philip the deacon, and you know we've got our deacon ordination coming up. I praise God for the deacons we've had historically in the life of this church. The 30 years I've been here, they've been great men of God. They've been faithful. They have been committed. And they've been evangelistic. I've been on mission trips to other countries with some of them, and I've seen them in action, preaching and teaching and winning people to Christ. Well, Philip was one of those deacons, spirit-filled, evangelistic, with a heart for God and for people. And so we see Philip here. Now, the first thing we need to look at is the New Testament baptism is preceded by gospel preaching. It's preceded by gospel preaching. Here is the eunuch riding in his chariot, and he's reading an Old Testament book, which that's all they had at that point. The New Testament had not been written or compiled. And so they had the Old Testament, that was the Bible, and he's reading Isaiah. But he doesn't understand it. He doesn't have the illumination. There are millions and millions and millions of people all over the world reading the Bible that don't have the understanding. And there are millions and millions of people in liberal or dead, carnal, human, earthly churches that don't have the gospel. I was trying to witness to a Muslim store owner here locally. And he said, oh, I've been going over to one of your Christian churches and debating the preacher there about the Bible. And I said, oh, which one? The Unitarian Church on Central Parkway. And I said, well, I've got news for you, brother, you know, or I've got news. You haven't been debating a Christian church. Unitarian is really a Western Hinduism. It's an idea of forces, and there's not a personal Christ. There's not the death, burial, and resurrection. There's not heaven and hell. And I said, I'll be glad to meet with you and go through all of that, and we'll get right into the New Testament, as evangelical Christians do. But we see this eunuch, he had a heart for God. I mean, he was traveling all the way from Africa to Israel, to Jerusalem, to worship God, the one true God, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah. And he was going there to worship him, but he did not know him yet personally. He was not born of his spirit yet, and he needed illumination. So Philip got into the chariot with him and said, what are you reading? Here's the passage. Now, here's God's provision. There's a lot of room. Isaiah's got 66 chapters. He could have been reading a lot of different things. He could have been reading historical things. He could have been reading about war between nations. He could have been reading other things. But here he is reading a messianic passage. And God was preparing it. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God brings faith. The word of God brings the ability to hear, hearing. And that's why I want to encourage you again, as we do often, to read the word of God daily. Have a daily devotion. Get in God's word on a daily basis. So here we see New Testament baptism being preceded by gospel preaching. Philip preaching the word of God, the book of Isaiah, and further to the eunuch. Number two, New Testament baptism is promoted by a hunger for God's word. This eunuch had already been to Jerusalem. He could have said, I've already been to church. Some of you may say, I went to church this morning. We looked at scripture. We did a study. I filled in the blanks. You know, I've done that, so I don't need to read the Bible this afternoon. I don't need to read the Bible tonight. I'm covered for today. I've been to church today. Well, the eunuch didn't have that attitude at all. He had a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Here he is riding in a chariot in the desert. That was probably not convenient to do with a scroll. They didn't have a codice like we do, a book with pages. They had a scroll, and he had it rolled open to this passage and was reading Isaiah. And it probably was difficult on a chariot through the desert out in the hot sun. But it promoted a hunger in him. He developed a hunger. Look in verses 26 through 33 and look at his experience. When we see that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, go to the desert. He went there. Here's the eunuch. He was in charge of everything. He was second in command to Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. By the way, our missionaries, when they went to Ethiopia in the modern mission movement in the last 200 years, when they went to Ethiopia, they found an ancient Christian church there of born-again African people that had given their hearts and lives to Christ. And the hundreds of thousands of them traced their spiritual history to this eunuch. And they didn't even have a New Testament. And yet they were born again, they were trusting in Christ, repenting of their sins, giving their heart and life, because God strategically, I mean, he took Philip out of a great revival. He was preaching a great revival in a city, and God said, you've got to go over here. I've got a special appointment with you. Sometimes we may think, well, I need to go do this or go do that, and God's got some one individual in mind. There may be one person in your life that you have the key to that no one else does, that you've got the ability to get to their heart. They love you, respect you, you influence them, and you have the ability, and you don't know what they're going to be or who they know and what they're going to be. You just don't know. There was a shoe repairman, a shoe salesman in Chicago that helped win Moody, D.L. Moody to Christ, who won probably millions of people to Jesus. Moody Radio Broadcasting is named after him, Moody College. But one shoe man won one man who won a good portion of the world. So we see here this eunuch and we see this response. And so in the passage, he's reading the passage from Isaiah, and then he said, I can't understand it unless someone explains it. And then he was hungering and thirsting for God. Next, we see New Testament baptism is preceded along with the gospel, or is preached along with the gospel. The gospel is also a part of the preaching. It's not just the gospel, but it's to be a part of it. There's been many a great pastor and evangelist said, no matter what sermon I preach, I race to the cross of Christ. Billy Graham used to say that. I'm going to always go to the cross of Christ. If I'm criticized for constantly sharing the gospel, if I'm criticized for constantly trying to lead people to Jesus, I'm going to wear that as a badge of honor. There are many, many of my brothers who don't do that anymore. They'll say, if you want Christ, see me after the service. Well, I would like anyone listening, radio, internet, alive here, to have an opportunity to give their life to Christ pretty much every time. And it's important. It's important for us to share the gospel in our preaching and for it to be a part of it. Number four, New Testament baptism is practiced by immersion. The Greek word in the New Testament, baptizo, means to dip under, to plunge under, to emerge, to immerse. I've got Thayer's Greek lexicon, and I've also got Moulton and Milligan, two of the best lexicons on New Testament, Old Testament words. And in there, the word for baptizo in the secular Koine Greek, the common Greek usage, the word meant a couple of things. They looked in some of the existing documents. One of them was a ship bill of lading that had in it that the ship sunk in the Red Sea, or that it was baptized in the Red Sea with all contents aboard, which meant it went to the bottom. And then there was another where a clothier who dyed clothing and changed the color of cloth and made clothing, it said he would take the cloth, wrap it around his dye bat, and baptize it into the dye. That meant dip it all the way under, submerge it. And this particular word, it's interesting that you've got the Lutherans who trace back to Martin Luther, the Reformer, and they are a sprinkling denomination, or sometimes like a wet finger on a wet sponge cross, I baptize you, some type of thing like that, or sprinkling. And Martin Luther said when he was alive that the ancient rite of baptism was immersion and immersion only. John Calvin, who the Presbyterians trace as their founder, and Presbyterians as a denomination or a sprinkling denomination, that John Calvin said the same thing. The only rite of baptism we see in the New Testament is immersion. The Catholic Church in the early centuries had separate baptismal houses near their churches, a little hut type thing, a little building with a baptismal tank in it, and they baptized infants, they immersed them. And even now, I've read an article that just came out recently that across the world, the Catholic Church in many parts of the world is starting to immerse believers again as baptism. But that Greek word means one thing. Now, why do we have the word baptism? We have the word baptism because King James, a la King James Bible, when they were translating the King James Bible, one of the first English Bibles, that he did not want to address the political aspect of baptism because the Anglican Church was sprinkling. There was a lot of that going on already. And so he told the translators, don't translate the word baptizo, transliterate it. Change each Greek letter into an English letter and make an English word. And so that's where the English word baptism came from. If they had translated it, then we would be the Southern Dipper Convention or the Southern Dunker Convention, or this would be First Dunker Church of Stewart or First Dipper Church of Stewart or First Plunger Church of Stewart. If they had translated it, that would have been the concept and the idea, and that would have been brought forth. There are other words for the other activities. Cartharizo means to wash or to cleanse. We see ekio is to pour or to pour out. Reno is to sprinkle. Rentizo is to sprinkle. And you can see how we get rain from those Greek words and the idea of a sprinkling. Now, if sprinkling or pouring had been enough, you know that the Ethiopian eunuch, second most powerful man in a nation, as he was going through the desert, that he had a animal kidney, which was a canteen for them back then, a leather bag, a skin that was filled with water. And he had that hanging there in his chariot. And when Philip jumps on and explains it to him, he could have grabbed this and said, I do want to get baptized. I want to get baptized now. I want to be baptized here in my chariot, my Mercedes-Benz chariot, and in the comfort of this chariot. Here's my water bottle. And Philip could have, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or he could have, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He could have sprinkled him. He could have effused him or poured him. But that is not what New Testament baptism is. It is immersion. In fact, some of the commentators have said that a baptistry tank in modern churches is really just an elaborate, modern casket. It's an interesting way to think about it. But that's the picture of baptism. We are buried in the likeness of his death, and we are raised to walk in a new life. And it's a picture of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Every one of us here today, including Gracie this morning, every one of us here today that have been immersed, we have been to a funeral already, our own spiritual funeral, where we've acknowledged that the old dead person has been buried, and now a new living person is alive to live for Christ. Can I hear an amen? And we've been to our own funeral. Each of us that have been baptized, we've been to our own funeral. And we see this idea. It's not pouring. It's not effusing. That's why even Kim's Presbyterian pastor, Dr. Garrett, down in Miami, offered immersion to the believers, and he immersed more people than he sprinkled, because he said, I've got to do what the New Testament said. Even though I'm a Presbyterian, I've got to follow the ancient biblical principle, the biblical rite that was followed, and he immersed. It's interesting, immersion's got some interesting aspects to it. Years ago, I used to get the cassette tapes of the sermons of Wally Beebe. He was a Georgia pastor, and he was a bus ministry pastor, and he promoted bus ministries all over the nation for people to bring children and adults to church. Wally Beebe. Well, Wally Beebe shared this story of his very first baptism. He had just become a pastor of a good-sized church, and it was a Sunday morning, and he was going to baptize, and I've actually had these. Some of the gowns have a little loop that's on the back where you can hang them and dry them. I've actually used some of those before in the past. And they have these loops. And he was baptizing, and they also sometimes even have loops on the sleeves. And he was baptizing this woman, and she was a rather large woman, like around a 300-pound lady, you know, quite a lady. And they go into the water, and he's nervous. And back then, they all wore cufflinks, and he forgot to roll his sleeves up. He had his cufflinks on. And so he said, I was lowering this lady in the water. I forgot to tell her to bend their knees. That's part of the orientation I do with all of them is keep your knees bent, and then I'll lower you back. And when I say, Holy Spirit, bend your knees. And they need to keep their feet planted on the floor, or otherwise their legs can become buoyant. So he's baptizing this large lady, this 300-pound lady, and when he's lowering her down, he forgot to tell her to bend her knees. Her legs float up, and she flips in his arms, and when she flips, the loop on the back of her gown catches his cufflink. And she rolls up on him, on his arms, and jerks him into the water. And they said they saw his boots go up in the air because he had waders on, and he went down into the water, and he and the woman are rolling over each other in the water. And finally, he grabs the top of the glass, help, like that, you know, goes back under. Some deacons that are in the choir come down, grope around in the water, help he and the lady get up. And he said it was very hard to preach that morning, one of his first sermons after that baptismal experience. My first church I pastored at, Gardens Baptist, Pastor George Smith was a pastor before me, and he had a teenage son. And George Smith was out of town preaching a revival, but he came back in for Sunday morning, and to baptize his son, because his son, George Smith Jr., had given his life to Christ. Well, on Saturday, George Smith Jr. had been in the Everglades and had caught an 8-pound bass, largemouth bass, and he wanted to show it to his dad. So he released it into the baptistry. And George Smith, he told me this. He said, I got back in town. I went straight to the church. You know, I put on the gown. I go down in the water. And when I go down in the water to baptize my son, I look, and here is a large, largemouth bass suspended in the water with his mouth open, looking at me. And he said, I said, no baptism this morning, George. I want to see you after the service. And he got in trouble. But we see the idea of baptism and baptism by immersion. And that's why we have a tank, and every evangelical church like us has some manner. Some have those metal tanks. We have one of those at Reborn Farm. We can baptize out there. As Rick and them did at the beach is a wonderful witness. They said, actually, some new families came up and said, what are you doing? What does this mean? And they were able to explain Jesus to them and talk to them about baptism when they had their baptism and baptized his son Rick and the other nine at the beach. And so we see this picture of immersion. Number five, New Testament baptism is to be participated in by born-again believers only. If you look in the passage, Philip's interaction with the eunuch says, look, here's a body of water. Now, what hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip's response, you may if you believe with all your heart. If you believe, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. I've trusted. And back then to say believe meant I've given my heart and life. I've trusted in Christ. And he said, then you may. Now, there may be some of you say, well, I was baptized when I was 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, 15. But then I got saved when I was 20, 25, 30, 40, 50. And that's when I was really saved. I would encourage you to get your baptism on the correct side of your salvation, that you need to be baptized after your salvation, because the funeral picture did not occur for you. If you were 8 years old and you did it because brother or sister did it, or mom and dad wanted you to, or whatever, and you did it for any other reasons than you wanted to because you had given your heart and life to Christ, then later at 15 or 25 or 30, you gave your life to Christ, you need to be baptized after your salvation. The first did not picture the death of your old life because you were still in your old life. It's after you give your life to Christ. And that's why Philip said to him, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" "Yes, I believe with all my heart." And so we need to recognize that in our lives and follow the Lord. And both of our children, Shay and Josh, have been baptized twice. I baptized both of them when they were very young and made professions of faith at Gardens Baptist Church, our first church. Shay, we were having a father-daughter date. We were having a picnic at one of the parks there in Broward County on a Saturday. And she had given her life to Christ. And she was a little precocious thing, as you can imagine. She stood up on the picnic table, put her hands on her hips. She said, "Aren't you supposed to get baptized when you're saved?" And I said, "Well, yes." She said, "Well, I'm saved. When are you going to baptize me?" And I go, "Okay, tomorrow." And so I baptized her on Sunday morning. Later, when Bailey Smith, the evangelist, came, Shay was about, 12 or 13? And she was sitting in the balcony with Kim, and she fell under a conviction, repentance, came forward, and gave her life to Christ again. And she said, "That was when I was truly born again," and she was baptized after that. And I just want to encourage you to pray about that and make sure your baptism is on the correct side. And for I do believe there are millions of believers that are not growing like they could because they don't have the growth grace that comes from obedience and baptism. When you obey God in baptism, in following Him and obeying Him in this ordinance, this, if some would say sacrament, but an ordinance, when you do that, there is a growth grace that comes. My secretary at my first church, Virginia Bramer, she and her husband Bill, and Virginia was like a staff sergeant woman. She was a great secretary, and she became the commander for our Awanas, and I mean, she was a real commander. And she and Bill, through the years, had had marital issues, and they had divorced each other two or three times, and then remarried each other over and over again. They'd divorce, then they'd reconcile and remarry, and they did that several times. Well, one Sunday, Virginia had joined the church, but Bill didn't. And one Sunday, he's leaving. I'm in the foyer shaking hands. And I said, "Bill, when are you going to get off the fence? When are you going to do something about it?" And I was talking about joining the church. And he said, "Okay, Pastor, you're right. I need to get baptized." I said, "Baptized? I thought you were baptized years ago." He said, "Nope, not since I've been saved. I need to be baptized." So I baptized him the next Sunday, and his Christian life took off like a rocket. Here's a man who'd been going to church for decades. And after he got scripturally baptized, there was a growth grace in his life, and he took off like a rocket, growing in Jesus. Then we see finally that New Testament baptism brings pleasure to those who participate. Look in verse 39. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing." As you've seen, we've had several baptisms the last few weeks, and it's always been exciting to see the responses of them after, when we go up into the changing rooms and go back afterwards and then meet in the hallway, and to see the excitement and the joy of obeying Jesus and following Him in believers' baptism. I'd like to ask if you would to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed today, are you sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Not just some head thoughts, not just some heart knowledge or beliefs, but a genuine heart experience, a heart relationship with the Son of God. Are you sure that Jesus Christ lives in your life? If not, if you're not sure, I'd like to invite you right now to just say, oh Lord Jesus, please forgive me and cleanse me. Please, Lord, be real to me. Take control of me and live through me. And thank you for sacrificing yourself for me and paying for me. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want to give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning and want to encourage you to do business with Him. Let's stand together and sing. And you come as God speaks to your heart. Please be seated for just a moment. I want to remind you again a couple of things. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be meeting at the farm to do some painting and a little bit of cleaning up, and want to encourage you to come and take part in that. Florida Baptist Disaster Relief has sent out a memo to all of the Florida Baptist disaster family in Florida to come in May. The date's there in your cell. To come in May to do a chainsaw training event, and they're bringing in two national chainsaw experts, and they're going to be cutting down hopefully several acres of some of the rubbish and trash and invasive things, Brazilian peppers, that sort of thing, and some of the trees, and giving instruction. And we're going to have a bonfire and cook hot dogs for them. And I believe there'll be some certification if any of you are interested in being certified by the Florida Baptist Convention. Just Google Florida Baptist Disaster Relief, and there's instructions there for you to prepare for that and be a part of that. So we're going to be doing a work day setting up the farmhouse for that. And I want to encourage you to come, wear your paint clothes. And we'll have some paint and brushes and rollers and all that, and do some of that. And then, as you know, we're dismissing here in just a moment for our spaghetti luncheon for our youth group for summer camp. And again, you can get it to go or eat with us in there. And I'm going to dismiss us in prayer for lunch, or I'm going to have Kim do it. Kim, would you do a dismissal in prayer for lunch? Okay. So we'll have her dismiss us in prayer for lunch over there, and want to encourage you to either grab it or eat with us there. And then I'd like to encourage you to fast and pray with us tomorrow. Load up on all this spaghetti today, and then fast and pray with us tomorrow. And just praying for our project, for God to give us $2.5 million to pay for our loan on the property and to pay our soft costs in development. And if you could pray with us for that, we would really appreciate it. Kim, can you pray for our lunch today?
Thanks. Will you stand with me? Father God, we're just so grateful, Lord, to be in your house today and to just think about all the beautiful and wonderful things that you have done for us. And most of all, God, giving your Son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And thank you, Lord, for that. And if anyone doesn't know it and doesn't know your Son, that they would come to know him today. And we just want to ask your blessing on the food that we're going to eat, the yummy spaghetti and everything else. And we ask that there would be a great crowd to head that way. In the very powerful and healing name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287 5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There is a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stuart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Dara Pearson. I've been a member of First Baptist Stuart for 30 years. My husband and I have three grown children. Our family has had the privilege of serving the Lord here at First Baptist Stuart for many years. Currently, one of the ministries that I've been serving the Lord in is the MOPS program, which is Moms of Preschoolers, and Moms Next, which is Moms of Elementary Age Children. This program is perfect for moms of young children to come and gather together with other moms. During this time together, these mothers find support, guidance, and fellowship. We meet on selected Wednesdays once a month at First Baptist Stewart from 6 o'clock to 7:15. Child care is provided with activities during Wednesday night programs, such as Awana. We have a time of discussion about parenting children from a godly view, a fun craft, and snack. If you are a mom of young children, please come join us. Search for Stewart Mops on Facebook. We'd love to see you.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstewart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you, and look, keep to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.